had learned that I had read the Bible through completely in the past year. And she said to me, "How did you get through the book of Leviticus?" Well, I understood what she meant, because I had a lot of trouble understanding parts of the Old Testament, including Leviticus. Somehow the Lord had enabled me and encouraged me to read through those parts, but I didn't quite know what to answer at the time. And I think it's took me many years, and maybe I'm still growing. I hope I'm still growing in an understanding of what the answer might be. And it's against the background of that experience of struggling with the Old Testament myself, and knowing many other people struggle with it, and particularly a book like Leviticus, that I've chosen a passage which was, it seems to me, one of the notorious passages that seems irrelevant, at least at first blush, to us. And to encourage you, to use this as an example to encourage you more broadly. Now, I hope that through the Lord's will, you can receive some blessing through my message this morning, and I'm going to want to return for it. Something you can do for me, because I'm in the process of writing a book on understanding the law of Moses and its benefits. A book that I hope will engage ordinary Christian people and help them over some of the difficulties, help them to see that the Old Testament and the law in particular is a revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll be praying for this book. It won't be out anytime soon. there's room to pray. There's lots of provisions it has to go through. But I wanted to share with you some of the fruit of my thinking and what I hope the Lord has blessed me on in understanding His Word. So what about this passage? Well, first of all, there are some wrong answers that I think we need to confront about why this passage is there in the Bible at all. Why all these distinctions and restrictions between different kinds of animals and different kinds of things that may be eaten and things that may not be touched? One of the wrong answers which you will confront today is the idea that, well, this is just a sample of the literature from a primitive people and their mistaken ideas about taboos. And we know that various tribes and peoples outside of Western civilization have had religious taboos about certain things. So this is just a sample of that. The reason why that won't do is that the nation of Israel was unique among all the nations and tribes on the whole face of the earth, that God chose to come to them, and God chose to speak to them in a thunder and in lightning from the top of Mount Sinai, and it was God who gave them these distinctions. So even though there may be a superficial similarity between taboos for Israel and taboos of other false religions, yet there's a world of difference underneath, the difference between the true God and a false fanciful idea of how to win the favor of spirits of some kind. That answer won't do. Well, then the answer comes on the part of those people who genuinely believe the Bible, who believe that this passage is from God, and they say, well, God gave them these instructions for medical reasons, for health reasons, because the people were not to eat pigs or pork, and now we've come to understand that there was a danger of trichinosis. They were not to eat shellfish, and there's certain times when shellfish may be dangerous. They were not to eat various kinds of scavenging birds, and they might carry diseases and so on. Well, there's a tiny grain of truth in that, and that the Lord did promise to the people that if they followed His laws, He would keep them free from the diseases of the Egyptians. And there may be, this may be one of the means which He used, although He could supernaturally free them from disease just as easily. So that, I think, is only God's
But God says, the reason is religious. The reason is my holiness, not health. Sure, that might be a secondary benefit here and there. But fundamentally, it's the holiness of God. Now that has two.